just firstly to revise the steps that we've done so far for those who might have just joined. So the first step, be generous-hearted, like Father Brahma. The second step, be a sustainer, like Father Brahma. The third step, like Father Brahma, be one who has pure and positive thoughts for others and is full of good wishes and pure feelings. And the fourth step, like Father Brahma, be a humble instrument and give regard to everyone. And today we'll cover the fifth step, like Father Brahma, be a carefree emperor. And the sixth step, like Father Brahma, together with having love for solitude, also be sociable. So this step of being a carefree emperor follows very nicely from having the consciousness of being an instrument, because that's really the way that we can stay light. So I'll just read a few of these. Father Brahma always remained in the stage of a carefree emperor because of having faith in the intellect. Instead of taking the crooked path of question marks, instead of following the crooked path of question marks in any situation. Okay, thanks. Instead of the crooked path of question marks, he put the full stop of benefit. With the basis of one strength and one support, he made his stage unshakable, immovable, and constant. One strength and one support. Through that he made his stage unshakable, immovable, and constant. So similarly, follow the Father. Always have the enthusiasm that your victory is guaranteed. And this is an interesting other one. No matter what the atmosphere is like, or whether someone has said something to you, never doubt yourself or doubt that your actions are right or wrong. Interesting. Don't doubt that your actions are right or wrong. Let there always be the faith in your mind that you are an embodiment of success. So I think that what that means to me, even if your actions are wrong, you can still be an embodiment of success. But don't doubt, don't start thinking so much whether you are right or whether you are wrong. I think this stage of the carefree emperor is just to go ahead, stop those question marks, put a full stop of benefit, and just go ahead. Always have the faith that God Himself is your companion. Let there never be the slightest experience of loneliness or being without support. while performing every task, facing everything, and being cooperative, have an attitude of unlimited disinterest. And you'll become unshakable and immovable. Whatever happens are the side scenes. Seeing the side scenes, do not lose sight of one's destination. Seeing the side scenes, do not lose sight of one's destination. Continue to move on. Continue to go across. And you'll experience your destination to be close. Be unshakable and immovable with the awareness of nothing new. Seeing any scene instead of shaking, be an instrument to make the atmosphere powerful. So just to take up this last one a little bit, because recently I was talking with someone who has taken on a huge project for the Yajna that's been taking many, many years to complete, and a lot of frustrations, a lot of obstacles, a lot of obstacles being thrown in, kind of, you know, where you feel, why don't people just cooperate? And it's been many years. And a year ago, I was talking with this person and thinking, they're so caught up in it, like totally, like can't see above what's going on. And when I met the person this year, maybe it was only 6-8 months ago, when I met this person, I found such a difference. And especially you could, this person was talking about, she was talking about having this disinterest, and that whatever happens, actually it doesn't really matter, because our goal is to be the yogi. He said, I don't know what's happened because, you know, I'm a yogi. And I could see how that person was lost in all of these things that were going on, because, you know, it was a big project, a lot of responsibility. And this person was saying, but this doesn't suit me because I'm the person that makes everything happen with magic, that serves through the mind, you know? And it's really quite, I've seen over all these years that it seems that we have to go through these obstacles and difficulties and situations in order to make ourselves so free of everything, free of support. Baba's saying here, one strength, one support, having that faith that you will be victorious. And just, you know, knowing that, you know, Baba also says, your courage and Baba's help. So when we apply this faith in the intellect, in Hindi there's two words for faith. One is nischay, which is more the faith in the intellect, and the other is bhavana, these feelings of like, it can also be like a blind faith, but just a faithful feeling. But faith, both are very important, because faith in the intellect, I remember one time Baba saying that, he said you have to make effort to have faith. You know, often in the world people would say, well, you either have it or you don't. You either believe in God or you don't. But it's very interesting, this concept of making effort to have faith. And to me, that's really the journey, that I put these things to the test. And when I test them out, then I see that they work, and so that faith increases. And on many levels, in many situations, we can really just put it to the test. And so I would say that my faith is strong because of experience. And when it's that experience, you can't shake it, because it's like from the very early days I had that experience, because I was very young in Gyan, very young in age, 21. I went to Hong Kong when I was, I think, 24 to start Baba's English speaking center. They already had a Hindi speaking center. And, you know, I was kind of put into a kind of world that I didn't know anything about. You know, I was a hippie. And here I was being picked up by a driver and being taken to a satsang with 100 Sindhis, and all in their diamonds, which I used to really get a thing about seeing wealth. And I was put in this situation, served with silver cups and, you know, put on like a pedestal like a guru. I mean, I had no experience of this. But, you know, I was just put into so many situations. And you just think, well, you know, this is for me to rise up and play the part. You know, like Baba says today, you know, you're playing you have a duty, so you have to give honor to that duty and play that role. But so many situations, and also mostly everything was done by just having faith in Baba, because I didn't know how to do anything. I organized a big Asian conference. There was only two Brahmins, and we organized an Asian conference. And we were so innocent. We invited so many people as speakers, and they all said yes. So myself and the other sister, who was, I think, more innocent than me, we said, oh, now there's so many speakers, we'll have to have this program over 3 days instead of 1 day. But without any planning, any idea of what we're doing, we were just doing what happened. We were too innocent, too inexperienced, even know what we're doing. So we had this program over 3 days. People came from all over Asia, even as far away as England. And we had Dadi Manohar, Nawer Bai, Dr. Nirmala, Jayanti Ben, and another sister, Heidi, who was here then, Hansa Raval. We had all of these big Maharatis. But we didn't plan where they're going to stay, who's going to cook. You know, we didn't plan anything. But it all just happened. I mean, it's a long story how it happened. But in the middle, we looked at each other in the middle of these 3 days, which went absolutely perfectly. We looked at each other in the middle and kind of said, did we organize this? Because we didn't even feel that we organized anything, because we didn't know how to organize. So it was such an experience of just our courage and Baba's help, and at such an early stage of Gyan, that since then, there's no doubt. So it's like, because of that, you just do things, because you know that if I have courage, Baba will help. I don't have to think too much how to do it, or who will do it, or where the money will come from, or any of these things. It's a kind of a blind faith. I think I have a blind faith in this, that if I have courage, Baba will help. But it comes through that experience. So like that, so many experiences of just having this faith. And of course, within that, when you feel that Baba's doing it, you feel so carefree, because you don't really have to do it. You don't even know how to do it. You don't have to know how to do it. This is my experience. I don't even know how to do, have to know how to do something. Even this future of power, I think when it started, we didn't really know what we're doing. We didn't really know what this soft power was about and all of these things. Just started. The hospital. It started with, I think, a donation of something like $1 million. But that's nothing for a hospital. No? We started to build this hospital with one donation. I mean, you know how much it is to run a hospital and an ongoing expense and huge expenses. But the whole yajna runs like this. And so, again, we have to look back to the seed that Brahma Baba has really just had this way of doing everything. Everything has been just, you know, Baba's responsible. And I'm sure you remember that Muli where Baba was saying that there was a time in the yajna when they first came to Mount Abu, and there was no money at that time. It was the beggary days. And it was one day where, you know, Baba was told in the morning, like in the morning, there's nothing to cook. There's no food left. There's nothing we can cook for lunch. And Baba said, okay, just announce that food will be a bit late today, that lunch will be a bit late today. That's all he said. Just announce that lunch will be late. Now, imagine being responsible. Imagine if you were responsible to feed 300 people. How would you feel? Would you not have a little bit of anxiety? Where am I going to get the food to feed 300 people? And, you know, we're in Mount Abu and it's cold. I mean, you need food in an environment like this. But according to that Muli and what, you know, Bapdada was saying, is that he didn't have the slightest question mark. He just felt, these are Baba's children, this is Baba's task, and he will provide. And as the story goes, somebody, somewhere, had meanwhile got a touching that they should go and donate to the Brahma Kumaris and actually travelled all the way to Mount Abu and arrived, I think, something like 11 o'clock, and brought a check. And Baba immediately said, go and, you know, cash this and buy vegetables and things. And lunch was late. But, you know, it's one thing that all of that happened. But imagine not having any kind of a worry and being able to stay carefree when you've got 300 people to feed. Can you imagine? Could you do that? Have you done that? Because this is all about becoming like Brahma Baba. So we can also think, when were there times in my journey that I've really experienced this carefree stage of just having that faith and one strength and one support where something happens and there's not even a worry about it? And another time, when they're in Brijkoti, a snake fell. No, that was another sister, actually. But that was also interesting. And a snake fell on this sister's, from the rafter, for some, I don't know how, but this snake fell. And she said, she didn't feel anything. She just watched it move away. And she said, now, if that happened, I'm not sure I would be so stable. But in Brahma Baba's company, it was like that. You know, we just felt beyond everything. There was no fear. There was this kind of just feeling of faith and safety. She said, now if it happened, I'm not sure that I'd be so stable. So that's the idea, to create this kind of an atmosphere. And there was another story about a snake, where this snake came and it was near Brahma Baba. And Brahma Baba said, bring some milk for my child. He saw this snake, he said, bring some milk for my child. This kind of really easy and, you know, very light stage. And when we stay like that, I mean, we hear about these yogis that live in the jungle, and you can even talk to some of the Madhuban Nawasi brothers who have actually encountered wild cats. I don't know, I don't remember if it was a panther or a tiger or what, but I've heard two or three stories where they've been confronted with one of these animals, and just through their stage, and this is what we hear from the yogis too, that animal just goes away. So when we're able to keep ourselves free, then we save ourselves from danger also. But, you know, it's a really a great faith. And I remember I was living with this sister that, you know, she came to stay with me for a little while in the center. And we had a very, very easy and close relationship. And because of that, we kind of were just flying in Baba's remembrance. It was just a time, you know, you might have experienced that in your Brahman life where nothing can touch you. You're just above it all. And her mother had a bit of an issue, and her mother came to the office where I was working in the daytime. No, she called me up. She called me up at the office and she said, I'm coming tonight with a policeman to take Margaret back home. She has no, you know, purpose in being there in that meditation center. And her mother is, you know, very unstable. And I remember going home, you know, going back to the center. We had dinner. Everything was very, very light and wonderful. Then after dinner, I said to her, by the way, you know, your mother called and she said she's coming tonight with the police. So they might come. Something might happen. We'll see what happens. Actually, they didn't even come. You know, I don't know whether they didn't come because of our stage or it was just a threat. But you can imagine what kind of upheaval could come in the mind in a situation like that. But what's the necessity? Whether they come or not, the best way to deal with it is just to be very easy and light and, you know, deal with the situation as it comes anyway. But there's a very good chance that because of our state of mind, that could have been the reason also that they didn't come. But either way, it works. And you know, there was another situation where someone was actually hired to assassinate Brahma Baba. And he came to kill Brahma Baba. And when he came in front of Baba, and this is also kind of quite a nice story how they even allowed him to come in front of Brahma Baba, because there was some protective kind of arrangements even at that stage. But he came in front of Brahma Baba, and Baba just looked at him with absolute soul consciousness and love and said, "What do you want, my child?" And he just called him, "My child." And that person just knelt at his feet and couldn't do anything. You know, I mean, compared to being frightened and reacting and, you know, but just this easiness. So totally carefree in everything. And if we're able to have, you know, we read here, what are the methods to have that? So faith in the intellect, the full stop of benefit, one strength and one support, victories guaranteed. And there's another good one here. Be knowledgeful and perform every action knowing its consequences. And the equality of your faith and its victory. This will make you a carefree emperor. So that's what Baba also says, that faith brings victory. So if our faith is high, we can be carefree because we know that victory anyway is our birthright. And one of the other things that has really helped me, it was just a line that I read in a book called the Tao Te Ching, which is the Chinese kind of philosophy, it said, few leaders realize how little they have to do. Few leaders realize how little they have to do. And actually this changed my whole way of doing things and brought such a big result, I would say, because what I realized is that it all just depends, as Baba says, on the state of mind. That if I have pure thoughts and good intentions, everything's going to happen, and also being an instrument, and if it's meant to happen, it will happen. Do I really need to think much about anything? If I have some inspiration and it's correct for this time, for this, you know, place, it will happen. What do I have to do? I just need to let it happen. And I can tell you, such a change. In fact, I remember exactly, because we were moving from a small center in Hong Kong, which is very expensive, to a large center that was very costly, and we couldn't even afford to pay for the furniture, let alone the monthly rent. But we did it again. Our courage and Baba's help. But we moved into this place. The whole center was furnished just with thought. We'd just think and it would come. And it wouldn't just come, it was beautiful. A lot of antique furniture, and it would just fit wherever it was meant to be. And so since then, I've experienced that the less we think and the cleaner and clearer our thoughts, it's like a miracle. And really it's to do with having faith in Baba and that it's his task. And just can imagine how Brahma Baba really managed everything with this not thinking, just having the thought and letting it happen. So it really works if we put it to the test. So again, put it to the test. See if you have faith, whether it works. And why this particular thing works is because it's right thought, right intention, right awareness. And when that is elevated, things just happen. And one of the tests that maybe I can just share with you, test or experiments that I had, was that I moved from Hong Kong back to Australia. Someone gave me this little car that was very old, and you know, if you went over 90 it would shake. And but then Didi Nirmala, she offered the retreat center a good car, and I knew that one of the other retreat centers really needed a truck, and this little car could still go, and there was, you know, it was okay. So I felt, to be honest, the right thing to do would be to say, actually the other retreat center need a truck more than we need a car. I mean, both were needed, but that was more needed. But it was also a little bit of an experiment, because I thought, when we really need it, it will come. Because often we have this kind of mentality, or I better take it now because I'm not sure if later I will get it. So it's a little bit like a grabbing, you know? I mean, it was needed, but not that needed. And it was a very good experience, because just when that little car could not go anymore, it wouldn't have passed registration, it had to be put to rest, I just had the thought, now we really need a car. Within 1 or 2 days, somebody came and offered, can you imagine, a truck. And it was, I thought, that's funny, almost as if the point was being made, you know. A truck was offered and they said, if you don't need this, you can sell this and get a car. And the way we got the car, you know, this person was in contact. He was working, you know, like top class mechanic. Took us down. We saw one car. He said, it's a good trade-in. Take it. Finish. Just like that. We got it like after 2 days. We had the car. And what I was so happy about is not getting the car, but to be reconfirmed that this really works. If I just do the right thing, if I just use my thoughts in the right way, everything will work because it's Baba, but it's also we have to be aligned with this higher way of thinking instead of planning and, you know, all these question marks and, you know, feeling insecure. Maybe I should get it now. You don't know what will happen later. No need. Just keep everything very simple and straight. So now just a few minutes reflection for you on this topic of being a carefree emperor and how much I have that experience, how to increase that experience, what difference would it make in my life. Because actually it's really not jnani, it's not being a knowledgeful soul to worry, is it? Actually, if we have good knowledge and understanding, worry doesn't have a place at all. It just doesn't fit with jnana. So the next one, the sixth step, like Father Brahma, together with having love for solitude, also be sociable. Father Brahma was always churning knowledge in solitude or lost in remembrance of the One Father. And therefore, always remained complete with his spirituality. Beautiful way to say it. And therefore, always remained complete with his spirituality. But together with that, he also gave children the experience of meeting with them. So to be so engaged in churning and in solitude, lost in remembrance, and yet still being able to interact with others. Similarly, churn knowledge in solitude every day and also be sociable. Together with the love in your heart, also make time to be in solitude. So that could mean many things. It could mean, you know, when we love people, sometimes we like to be sociable and meet them. Together with the love in your heart, also make time to be in solitude. However, in the solitude, your cheerfulness should not disappear. Let both be equal at the same time. To have love for solitude does not mean you don't socialize with anyone. To be extreme is not good. To be extreme is not good. If in a situation one virtue is exaggerated and the other is merged, that's not good. Let them both be balanced. in order to have love for solitude, in order to have love for solitude, take the sweetness of all relationships from the one. In order to have love for solitude, take the sweetness of all relationships from one. To be concentrated on one means to stabilize yourself in one thought and to be absorbed in the love of one. To have love for solitude does not mean to step away, but to remain in remembrance of one, and with your soul conscious form, develop your power of silence. To have love for solitude does not mean to step away, but to remain in remembrance of one, and with your soul conscious form, develop your power of silence. Have love for solitude and make the power of your thoughts pure and elevated. By having love for solitude, your churning power will increase. Okay, see, these are the benefits of solitude. By having love for solitude, your churning power will increase. There'll be safety from the storms of Maya. Because when any storms come, we can just go inside and go into that power of silence. When we have that practice, there'll be safety from the storms of Maya. And you'll be saved from a negative atmosphere. Like sometimes we say, we are the yogis and this body's like a cave. We don't need to go to the jungles. We can just go inside and experience that safety. At Amritvela, especially practice being introvert in solitude. So you can think what that means. I mean, sometimes Baba used to recommend that we sometimes do Amritvela alone. Like he used to say, just go on the rooftop. You know, sometimes the gathering is very good, but sometimes it's good to have a different experience also and to be alone. But even in the gathering, of course, to be so alone, to go into that concentrated state so that there's nothing around except, you know, your own connection with Baba. And it's also my weakness, but I'm really not good with when there's music, you know. It's my weakness. I should be able to detach from it. But when I started Gyan, we used to have silence all the time. Very rarely music was played. It was played 5 minutes in the beginning and 5 minutes at the end of every half an hour. So we'd have 5 minutes, a song or some music, then 20 minutes silence, 25 minutes, then another 5 minutes. And it was more just for a timing, because every half an hour different people would sit to conduct meditation, and it seemed like it was just like a indicator, but not a support for meditation. So you need to think about that yourself. I mean, we all need to get detached from sound, and if there's music, then we have to practice being detached. But I do like to always suggest that we have silence, because personally, I can't imagine how we can really get that taste without silence, because that's my experience, that when there's silence, you know, silence is a sound of its own. Like we say, silence is golden. And it's to me, a very powerful sound. And a lot of the music, it's just like a relaxation, which is not meditation, or entertainment. You know, it's nice music, nice words. It's okay to get yourself into a mood. But if we're going to churn and have that solitude, I can't imagine that songs and even commentaries and things will really help us in a very powerful way. It's a good beginning. It's good, you know. And sometimes if our mood is not good, or if we can't concentrate, or too many thoughts in the mind. But to be aware, I think the main thing, the point I'm making is to be aware. What helps your meditation? What is effective? You know, experiment. See whether music is more effective, whether commentaries are more effective, whether silence, you know, where, you know, what to focus on. Some people like to focus on, like for me, Brahma Baba's eyes do it more than anything else if I'm going to have any visual. Others just like the point. But, you know, and also do different things. But really be very aware of what's going. Sometimes it becomes just a habit. We come and sit down and same old thing every day. Nothing really happens. So what's happening? Is my yoga effective? You know, we're called yogis. It's a very big title to be a yogi. So are we really yogis? So I don't know what this really means, but Baba says, at Amrit Vela, especially practice being introvert in solitude. So you think what that means. Father Brahma had love for solitude, and with the practice of concentration, attained the power of silence and gave the donation of life to many souls. That's a very powerful sentence. Father Brahma had love for solitude, and with the practice of concentration, attained the power of silence and gave the donation of life to many souls. Be a lighthouse and might house, and give the wandering souls the experience of their destination. Be a lighthouse and a might house, and give souls, wandering souls, the experience of their destination. Give life to souls. And I know Sister Mohini once said that all of us are here because at one point we picked up that vibration somewhere. That was the start. Then we thought, oh, why don't I learn meditation? You know, something, something, something. But I really like that idea that we are here because at one point we picked up. So, you know, when I apply it to myself, it means if I'm constantly giving out that vibration, you know, that, you know, I can be standing on a bus stop, I can be sitting on a train, I can be walking down the street, and I can be doing this work of showing souls the destination. To be in solitude in that environment, to go into a supermarket, and just to be in this feeling of merged in love for Baba and in your own solitude, your own space. And shouldn't they feel something then from your drishti? Should be. And I remember I was working in an office in Sydney in the very early days. I was hardly 1-2 years in Gyan. And it was a very chaotic office. It was a government office, but not a good one, you know, very crowded and lots of people. And this brother who later, from being, you know, kind of someone I interviewed, he came to learn the meditation. And he told me that when I used to see you in the office, I used to see this aura around you. I was so surprised because in that environment, I wouldn't have thought at all that someone would be getting that experience. But it made me aware, we never know how Baba's using us to touch souls. And one soul was saying that this was in Hong Kong, she was coming out of a shop. And when she passed this person, as she was coming out of the shop, she got such a bad feeling, like all her hair stood on end in a very, like a very negative way. And when she came to the center, she said, I just need to get rid of this energy that I picked up. And that made me aware, what kind of energy do I give when I just pass people? I should be giving quite the opposite, this cool, fresh, you know, very beautiful energy when I just pass someone. So we can be serving all the time when we practice this solitude, soul consciousness, stay in remembrance of Baba. And we never know, because I really like that thing that Mohini Ben said, because I can be sitting on a train and people can be just getting that idea. I should go and learn meditation. So even when I used to stand at a bus stop, I used to stand with that feeling, because buses used to keep coming past. A bus would come full of people, you know, it stops and it goes on, and people have got nothing to do. They look around, they might look at you. So just to be in that stage that, you know, if they see me, they should get an experience of something otherworldly. And we can all do this. It doesn't take any expense or any planning, but it's all what I'm doing here. And Nuerbai, he used to give us such amazing experiences. He used to be in this office in Pandavavan, the one nearer to Baba's room, that office. And you'd go in with some work to do, you know, you'd go in with something, you know, and you'd go in to see him. And you'd just go in like in your mind, you're going to get this work done. And he just used to give drishti and take us away for 5, 10, 15 minutes sometimes. He used to just do that. You'd just walk in with your busy mind and he'd just take you flying. Then after 10 or 15 minutes, he'd say, "Yes, sister." Fantastic. You know, really such a beautiful experience of just like that, being away. And Daddy Janki said, when you're washing the dishes, you should be in such a stage that if someone comes to you, just by looking at them, you should send them beyond. So it means anytime, anywhere. Can you imagine? You're just washing the dishes and someone comes to talk to you, but you just send them away. So this is the kind of solitude and concentration that you can imagine Brahma Baba would have been just such an experience. So good, just 5 minutes left. So we can write down or think about, what is it that takes me away from solitude? What step should I take so that I really make sure that I start practicing this, not that I just let it happen if it happens, but what am I going to do? What step am I going to take to bring that solitude into my yogi life? So there were some really wonderful points there for meditation. So what I would suggest is not to take more than one, if you can manage, because this is concentration. And to really get deep experience, we need to go deeply into one thing. So if we can just choose one of these inspiring kind of stages or thoughts that we heard, and try to only keep to one thought, one experience. Because, you know, the method of meditation, as far as I understand, is based on as you think, so you feel. So if we think about one thing, we should be able to create the feeling. And as we create that feeling, you can either say it takes you beyond, up, or it takes you deep, down, whichever. Sometimes you feel you're going up, sometimes deep, deeper. But you go deeply into this experience, deeper and deeper, to the point that there's no thoughts. You get to the experience where it's not churning anymore, but you are in the experience. And when you're in the experience, no thought. You just stay in that experience. This is seed stage, because in that stage, you're just the embodiment, you're just the seed, you're just the embodiment of that experience. Then if you find your thoughts coming back to something, then again go back to this churning and take yourself back into that experience. But it's a good, you know, we really need to practice concentration. You know, it's something we need to develop. It doesn't just happen. And that's what my thought is, that's what this silence is for, to go deeply into one thought, into one experience. So let's do that now. Shanti.